March 15, 2021. It's the Watch for Pedro Show. For Pedro Show, happy Ides of March. I think in the old days that meant middle, but now we know it is when Caesar got the bum rush on the steps. That too, Brute. Start off the show, John Coltrane, Time After Time. This is much before the Sidney Lauper one, okay. Duo Decibel System after that, Brand New, Lawn Care. And Brother Matt at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point a couple miles south of here, because still in quick quarantine mode, but I'm not totally man alone because those software engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention. I got Miss Melvis and John, the Duo Decibel System, with me from Cleveland.
Cleveland. From Cleveland.
Yeah, well, it's the C, you know?
Yeah.
Even though it's pronounced like. Somebody's got sounds over there. Even though it's got to sound like a K.
It's my May Thurman, yeah.
Later in the show, I'm going to play some fucking Clara Rockmore.
There you go.
She was one of the big proteges of that cat who invented that, who has an interesting story, right? He was in the gulag and working for the KGB.
Kind of shit.
But anyway, let's talk about your new record. When was it recorded?
Oh, boy. Throughout probably...
I would say over the last 2 years, right?
2 years. It took us a while.
Yeah, there's some old stuff on there. And so I did all the mixing here in my basement, and that took a while. I mean, obviously, I'm not a good engineer when it comes to that stuff. So trial and error, and Miss Melvis was best satisfied until I had it perfect.
Well, we had more songs on there, but a couple of them, you know, since that time had passed, it just, they didn't seem as good as they were lately, you know, so we left them off.
For next time, maybe. And what, if you're not good at that kind of stuff, engineering, John, what are you good at?
I play the drums. That's pretty much my peak skill. And then after that, I love electronic music, so I've got a bunch of synths and drum machines here that I incorporate into our music. And then after that, then I like working in the studio. And but I have a hard time with EQ and compression. That I watch a lot of YouTube videos to get me through those little patches like that.
Well, I say trust your ears because I think this sounds pretty fucking good.
Well, that is awesome. Then I'm on the right path.
Okay, so you know if you can do your drums and your synth as well as you did mixing on this fucking, you know. Mm-hmm. Let the freak flag fly, John.
Well, he also didn't mention, Mike, that he composes quite a few of the songs. So there's that.
Okay. Yeah, kudos on that front, too.
And I'll say, if I could do a shout-out to my favorite digital audio workstation, my favorite is Ableton, which is a really much made for like electronic musicians more than anything else, but... I think it's adapted pretty well to what we have. We're kind of like we cross both sides of that issue, real rock and then electronics as well. And we're trying to fuse that all together so it sounds cool.
At the end of the day, it's sound coming out of speakers. So
yep.
For me, it ain't that important how it originates.
Agreed. Yeah,
I learned a lesson from the Wizard of Oz. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
Not the book, but the movie version. I want to play Sin here.
respect, what you fear. No blood from a stone, no love for only. Words we talk, best forgotten. Chances left, you feeling frightened. Thoughts too harsh, leaving dead girls.
But the trail's gone cold. Now you're just like somebody I see on MTV. So it's goodbye, good luck, and good riddance from me. When I see Sting, I think of you. I know it sounds weird and worse, but it's true. You think that I would have better things to do. And looking at Sting, I'm thinking of you. Looking at Sting, I'm thinking of you. Looking at Sting, I'm thinking of you.
Thank you. abandoned ship to rats in a barrel. End of my shift. Are you letting go? Are you letting go? That's a wanton tiger in the snow. Catch him by the toe.
monster of the night. We need our makeup.
Pedro Show. Yeah, I started that chunk of music off with Sin from the Dual Decibel System, brand new album. To back after that with his new album out of Pittsburgh, Dianetics Jr. is the tune. Barry Berko Band with Heirloom Grain from his big piece he just put out. He did the whole fucking thing. You're talking about you're in a software Ableton environment world. Barry Berko made this whole fucking piece on a leash, right? The garage band that comes on the smartly, yeah, a virtual, what do you call those instruments? Andy Kerr after that, out of the Netherlands, with When I See Sting. He might be talking about the bass player. Obama's Apprentice, D.C. area, with Segway to Joy. Hans Rotten from Switzerland with Shadow of Us. Devil Hoof, which is the prac name for Devin Hoff, and it's Tunes Cameron. He's got a drummer there. From Peter, I think, Matt Chamberlain or somebody. Part 6 of Quarantina, Lisbon, it's called. Joe Cardamone, he's got this whole piece on the Kurt Sitch. And Egan Thirst, about 5 years ago, jamming at Ixpad, Miami. And Bettenizer out of Barcelona, right. Hallelujah. And finally, Duo Decibel System with Nepturian Eyes. So, Ms. Melvis, you're saying John does a lot of the composing. What is the process? Are there demos involved?
Well, what ends up happening is the ones that John composes, he pretty much presents to me, and I try to put words to it, guitar, you know, whatever we got. And then even with my songs, we'll end up back here in John's studio and start, you know, flushing them out on the computer to get it sort of on the grid, you know?
Well, when he shows you, does he, like, play the drum part, or does he put together a little piece, you know?
He has it all ready to go. Yeah, okay, he has the computer parts, the programming, sure, the drums.
So he does kind of make a demo for you.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you could call it
that. That's
right.
What I call it, this is the working.
I think that's the way it is nowadays, that demos actually become the backbone of the fucking tune, right?
Yeah, why not?
No,
just love this idea, and I try to encourage it, because things are more econo nowadays, and there doesn't have to be this gap between musicians and the people who capture it. You know what I mean? It's like in the old days, if only three or four people knew how to write, and everybody had to go tell their stories to these guys who knew how to write.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
And so this is, that's why I'm interested in the process. I want other music people to hear about this, because it ain't such a tough thing, right?
No.
I mean,
no.
I think the tough part nowadays is being creative, right, and putting a lot of motion. All the stuff that, before we had a lot of bones and shit, don't have to worry about that as much anymore. We can get at the core of expression, which is creativity.
Right, and then the songs I compose, usually John thinks they sound like folk songs originally, but I say, hey, go put what you need to put on this to make it what we do. So,
Melvis, what do you do? Do you play them for him on your guitar, or do you make yourself your little demos?
I do not. I just play them on the guitar.
No, that's not true. She does send me demos. She records them in her living room, her playing acoustic guitar on her phone, and then she
like
texts
like a voice memo.
Exactly,
right.
She texts that to me. So we both share demos with each other, and then when we get together in her basement to rehearse, we kind of start working it out there, you know, playing the stuff live, And then from there, I get the arrangement and I fine tune it in my basement, and she helps out with that as well with input. And then the song's crafted from there, and then we start playing it live.
Oh, you mean you don't play it live before?
No, we do, but it's like...
Oh, it's still being formed.
Yeah, bits and pieces, but the final, once it's all finished and we're satisfied, okay, so this is how long it's going to be. There's this many choruses, you're going to have three or four verses, whatever, a bridge, a couple bridges, and then agree on all that, and then take it from there. And we have to decide on your appropriate tempo, all that stuff.
But playing things in front of people before you put them to whatever, ones and zeros, that's a good thing, huh?
Well, good point, Mike, because I always want to play them as soon as we write them, but John won't let me.
Well, no, that's we did that the other, was it last week or the week before? We had our release event, and we had it at an art gallery in Cleveland, and we streamed it live for about an hour, and then after that, the folks that were there, our friends, we played some of our new stuff, and some of the stuff that we played is unfinished, so we wanted to kind of test it that way. So you're right. Doing that is not a bad idea.
Now, I'm telling you my own experience. You know, you go and you make the album, then you tour it, and man, does it sound better.
Yeah.
you know what I mean? You never get the chance. Fuck, in the old days, usually the album even missed the tour, but let alone you get to play gigs with it. So that's why I asked your opinion on that. There's just something about like testing it out in front of live people. We're at the end of the first hour, March 15, 2021. Special guest, Dual Decibel System. We'll time for hour two. March 15, 2021, second hour, a lot from Pedro Show.
Hey, Thank you. nobody else can love like I love you tonight. Come to me and decide whether you are alive. Use your brain and your eyes. Smell the scent of my guns. Nobody else can love like I love you tonight.
just don't show it.
Dear best friend and gracious self, love your mother, know them. Dear best friend and gracious self, love your mother.
Show start off the second hour with Dual Decibel System from their new album Doing Anything But Blue, Ben Salter, Tasmanian, High Resolution, Magor from, I'm just going to spell it, 2ZZEX, Tuzex, Morty from Poland with Homo Stater, and then Love Your Mother from Dual Decibel System. Yeah, so, like I said, it's good sounds. And this was done totally in your own pad, in your basement, John.
This is true. So obviously we saved a lot of money. And you know, getting it right is just by simply getting there and doing it and learning from your mistakes as you go along. And that's why it took 2 years. We just kind of wanted to make sure that we were both completely satisfied with the levels and all that stuff. So I thought it, I thought it came out okay, and I'm glad that you feel the same way, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds really good, and it's sort of like the fanzine ethic. You got nothing in between, right? There's no filter, no middleman.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, well, so yeah. Why not extend those kind of things to other stuff? This old days of, you know, the Rudy Von Gelder. he records. I remember reading this thing, Charlie Mingus says, man, he changes your sound. I think Rudy Van Gelder's recordings are pretty good, but you see what it is? Like that, musicians can be particular.
And oh, yeah.
So why not get more in charge of stuff like that? So how recent were a lot of these songs? Did you have to go back, or did you write a lot right for this record during the 2 years?
Both. So, yeah, I was going to say, so the oldest songs are Anything But Blue and Love Your Mother. Those go back to at least 2017 when we started writing them. In fact, Anything But Blue, I wrote that it came from a bass line, and I did it on my iPad in GarageBand, and then transferred it to my Mac. But I did that in a lobby of a hotel during lunchtime, and just wrote and kind of had the skeleton of the song there. And that was back in 2017 when I was working downtown in mm-hmm. Cleveland. And then the most recent song on the CD, or on that CD, whatever it is.
People don't know what to call it.
Album. Album.
Is it?
Album.
Yeah, is it sick?
Because an album is like a collection of things. So it's not really being all pinpointy on the medium, right? It's just a collection of things. So I think album is the same.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah.
But yeah, Sin was fairly recent. I'd say in the last year or 2 years, maybe.
Yes.
2 years. But we also had three other songs we planned to put on it, but I wasn't happy with how they sounded.
So they might come on the forward project. You know, here's an example, Miss Melvis. The photo album, right? There used to be these books you got where you put your pictures in.
Right. I remember.
They were called photo albums.
Right.
So I think album's the safe word. Because you don't have to worry about it. Yeah, record scary. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we have a whole bunch in the can now. We have about, I'd say 8 new songs plus the 3 that didn't make it on the record. So we have a lot going on,
Yeah,
keep
this
writing.
This just came out, so let's give people a chance.
Yeah,
I want to play Grace.
Okay.
Thank you. があって、そこを頼みさせて願い事するって絶対可能だって。無言には腹乗ってるだけ、何度か車走れるだけ、中華祭の簡単見つからもなかなか見つからない。たくさんの同じような家につく。今は魚に立てて階段登る力の持ち物の雰囲気だけ、中を見ると空っぽ。魚から下を覗くと池の椅子がおかしい。どれが山菜に見たい金属製のものだけが残っている。
Welcome to the Pedro Show. We heard Grace from the new dual decibel system. We're talking about in the old days, people, how you could tell how a band, their first album, they played a lot of gigs for those tunes, and then records after that, you could tell they were writing in the studio, and no proving ground, no petri dish. The Hatch, okay, my buddy Nez from Ireland, he's been living in Hokkaido, the Northern Island, Japan, the last 10, 12 years, and he's been sending me music from over there. And so I played a bunch of this stuff after Grace. I played The Hatch with Madame Bone Jasky, Car Thief School with Kinda Nick Cousin, Bang Wang with Haka. Haka's a graveyard, I know that. Nango with Numa, Guilty from Slay, and then some more dual decibel system, Cows. Kind of a reggae. You know, you got a big bottom sound with your mixing, John. And, are the drums, are they tunable?
Are there what?
Like the drums? MIDI drums. Yeah, where you can, because I found using electronic drums, when you tune them to the bass, man, does shit get tight.
Oh, yeah, so that's a good question. So what I did, I laid down an acoustic track of all real drums, and then I went back and added a layer of MIDI drums and just kind of blended it really finely in there and then made sure everything was tight with the bass, and that's how I thought it had a nice full sound at that point.
Yeah, I mean, because there's a MIDI instruction, right, that can give you the... In the old days, right? I remember with my first opera with Steve Hodges, having to tune the drums, you know?
Right.
This song is in, mainly the whole, because it was a big piece, it was kind of all in D7 and stuff. But to tune it, you know, by listening, right, and twisting those little knots in the lugs. Oh, man. And then George Hurley, we were doing some benefit for a Moto record, and he brought these with Steve Perkins played steel drum. Well, they got little notes written right in there. But yeah. Georgia, you could just turn the knobs, and I couldn't believe how tight it got, man. Oh my God. There's something about, because the notes last so short on drums, you don't really think they have a pitch, but they do.
They do. They're a note. That's a note. In fact, I play, I've got like about 8 different kits, but DW drums, they actually, on the shell, they have the note that shell is pitched at, written right in there. So, and you can tune by that.
Right.
And then it becomes a beautiful sound at that point. It just rings out to hell. I love drums that resonate and fill the grooves and the crevices of the song.
Yeah. Now, you know, when people give me stuff to put bass on and they give me drums, sometimes that's first, right? Nothing else. So I'll pick the key, what sounds good to those drums.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've gotten more and more sensitive to that kind of shit, where I think when I was more younger, I was oblivious to that. But it's interesting. And I heard that with your stuff here. That's why I said I think you did a really good job of this.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. And now, something over 2 years, how do you... keep the mixes consistent, you know what I mean?
That's a good question.
Because at the end of the day, it's one piece, right? It's one album. So you don't want to be jumping all over the fucking place, right?
No, but during the process, I'm reviewing, going back and making sure that this level is consistent throughout all the songs. And when I say this level, maybe the bass and the snares and just little items like that. Making sure that they're consistent, but at the same time, each song has its own unique sound style. So it's case by case, but yet it requires some review as we go along. But because 2 years is a long time, and you can like get off track.
Well, they weren't all sitting on there for 2 years, but I had a little role in the mixing.
Well, I was going to say having another pair of ears like Ms. Melvis to get some perspective, right, John?
Oh, yes. It had to be that, yeah.
Yes.
In fact, she pointed out stuff that I didn't I didn't notice. So.
Oh, I end up hearing the littlest thing. And
well, it's like kibitzing with chess, right? You walk over, there's the move. These guys have been so much into the game, right?
Exactly.
The forest for the trees kind of thing, right?
Oh, sure. And it's real important that we keep that bass and that drum sound you mentioned big, because when we play live, that's what people hear. It's just, this is big, you know.
Well, not just song. Hear, not just hear, but feel.
Oh, you're true. Feel, yes.
John, with how I sneak stuff in every now and then, you go.
Oh, John's drum set is growing and growing in my basement. Every day there's a new component.
I was talking about the sounds.
Oh, yes. So we'll go through a mix, and I'll think it's good, and I'll find something that wasn't there, and it turns out he added it in later.
Right. And, because I'm always discovering new sounds. I'm like, this would be cool here. But
I bust him out.
I don't tell her, so.
Okay, so, yeah, okay, a little chicanery.
There is definitely some chicanery going on in how I perceive.
He can't pull a fast one on me.
Well, you know that kind of stuff. You know, it's like spice, right? You don't want to put too much salt and make it a big... Right, but then a little bit might help.
True.
Yeah, but that's the extra set of ears. That's so bitchy, especially fresh ears.
Ooh, but when you think it's finished and suddenly it's different, that's when things get a little
tough. Yeah. That's why they painted lines on the road so you don't run into the dude going the other way.
Right.
We're at the end of the second hour, March 15, 2021, Dish Wap Pedro Show special guest, Duo Decimal System. Hang tight for hour three. March 15, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
work of the team with us.
Unlucky blooming time. But something happened in the 70s that made it not right. There was something that went wrong. To me, everything was out of tune in the world.
reach the pool. Hot summer day, watch your children free. Since he left her,
for Pedro Show. Third hour started off with Broken Bones, Dual Decibel System. This is not a skateboarding anthem, people. Rob was superimposing his own myth making. The Crane, Dick Edgemont Trio with Last Call. Then Claire Rockmore, Nocturne in C Sharp Minor. Nilsson. Here's some more stuff out of Barcelona. And Milo. This cat there with the studio mastery lab. Nilsson, the world went out of tune with itself. And then Mechanica Classica, Columnas de Agua. Finally, Duo Decibel System with Rooftop Garden. Now, I'm imagining an actual rooftop garden.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Am I too far off the mark? I mean, when do the titles come?
Pretty much from a line in the song that I think is prevalent. It might not even be the chorus. It's just kind of what sticks with me as the sort of meat and potatoes of the song.
Well, what I mean is it comes last, right? You don't start a song.
Oh, no, not really. No, I used to when I was younger. That's funny.
Well, Watt always does it that way. I have to start with the title or I have no fucking focus.
Yeah, well, I start with a line, you know, a musical line, and typically it kind of comes from there, you know, like I'll write it down and it just kind of, you know, develops into the song and we just pick a title. Now, some songs like Lawn Care, I didn't name, you know, Mr. Scully did.
I was just going to say that was a working title. And I say, Mel, this is a working title. You can, once you write the lyrics, you can change it at your, you know, first
right.
opportunity. And she never did that. She just let that one stick with Lawn Care. Because I put mundane titles on the working songs. They're meaningless.
Look, you want to hear mundane. What about song one, song two, song A, song B? That's fucking mundane. At least Lawn Care is some kind of concept.
Right, I think Nolan would write a song called Lawn Care. Doesn't make sense.
right.
Well, there was a Cleveland band, I think it was a side project of the Parahoo guys, maybe the bass and the drummer, called Home and Garden.
Oh, yeah.
Mel was in that band.
I played with them a few times.
I think it was named after the magazine, maybe.
Probably.
That might have inspired me, unbeknownst to me, subliminally, because I was a huge fan of that band when they first started playing. Excuse me, and that might have snuck in my head, and that's where the Lawn Care came from.
I remember first hearing about that band, and like it was like, man, who would call their band that? And then it's fucking Tony and Scott, right?
I was gonna say only Crowds would do that.
Then it turned into something. You got his son to sing it. It turned into like another Parubu, right?
A little bit. Well, like so many different people come in and out of it.
You know? Yeah, and there would be like these celebrations at the ballroom beach.
Beachland, yeah.
And they'd have get like Tom Herman and stuff, and it literally became and like I said, the son is like singing the song. He's even doing like banter between the tunes. I got some live tapes of this stuff.
His son Keith, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
He sort of puts on the David Thomas thing, in my opinion.
But there's kind of only one David Thomas.
But it's true. But it looks like he's kind of giving it that, you know.
Sure, is that called
Home Night?
Old Home Night.
I would play with them, you know, at Christmas occasionally for the past several years, but not the last two. But yeah, it's a fun night, all hinging on if Tony Mamone shows up.
Okay. Yeah, of course. All the way from Brooklyn, right? Now,
right.
Rooftop Garden, that's the last of the album. And so, of course, I like 11 songs from my guests because I want to bookend all my fucking, what do they call that, bumper? Some shit in the racket.
Yeah.
And so, we were two tunes short, but I went and I found some live dual decibel system at the 5 o'clock lounge. And here's Progress Report.
We'll be right back.
From Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Something live from the Dual Decimal System. So this is with no net, people. Okay? They get no overdubs in front of folks. Progress Report, live at the 5 o'clock lounge. And I think this was 2017, 4 years ago. Then we had the Sleep Party People with the Antlers Peter Silberman remix of In the Morning Sun We Stand. After that, David Gerard and Pete Swinton with The Ruins of Our Lives. That sounds happy. And then, finally, you know, it's trippy, too, because David Gerard, I'm an ambient artist, you know, so I guess you can be, like, sad in an ambient way. So, with your mouth hanging open. Or something. And finally, more live Dual Decimal System, live at the 5 o'clock lounge. Putting Me to Bed. Where are these two tunes from?
Oh boy!
Well, the Progress Report is from our album Slow Wave, and that came out in 2017.
Okay.
And then Putting Me to Bed is an old Miss Melva song that precedes me hooking up with her and playing.
I think I played a version of it, and maybe Scott Krause was on the drums.
He might have been, yeah. I think you could be right.
Okay. Because it rung a bell in my head somehow. That's why I was asking about the origins. Okay.
Yeah, you played on two other ones with Krause and I.
That's right. Well, he would flow them to me. That's actually where I first heard about Ms. Melts.
Oh, nice.
the Scott Krause connect.
Nice.
You know, look, it's always about people, right?
Yes, I agree.
It's
100%.
Really interesting the way things... develop, converge, and then diverge, and, you know.
Yeah, I say that about this past year, we've met so many people we never knew in the sort of music and art scene in Cleveland, and it was really bizarre, but it happened, and just a nice group of people to connect with, you know.
And the one common thing, well, there's two common things, music and Cleveland.
Yes.
But it's still, even if you're in the same town, and you're into the same thing, you still might not find each other.
John and I didn't for, you know, a good, you know, like 50 years never knew each other.
Right. So that's what I was leading to was like the idea of the record store, the idea of the club versus arena rock where everybody's sitting in the dark, you know, the social connect.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we found out that if you invite people to something personally, they love it, and they come, and they, you know, feel special. So we've been doing stuff like that for our live streams lately.
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of Martin Atkins videos where he's talking about how to promote your band, and that's been very helpful. Making it.
You're talking about the drummer man. I think he lives in correct. Chicago now, right?
Yeah, he does, yeah. But he's like, he's put out, I don't know, like 4 or 5 books now. Talking about how to make your band less shitty.
You know, people, listeners, you probably know him because he's a public image. He's a big part of that third record. And when I saw him play live, the one, it's almost all drums, right? The little synthesizer.
Right.
It's a kind of really incredible record. I like the first 3 public image records. After that, not so much. But, man, they're way ahead of their time. Why at the same time paying tribute to people like Can?
Yeah, exactly.
In fact, the first one was in a metal can. I think that's what it's called.
I had it in my hand yesterday. It was at our friend's house, and he had it. It's like that light. It's heavy. It's a heavy box. But yeah, it's awesome. I love that first album.
And I found out there's a lot of drummers. Even in fact, because I got to do an interview with the bass man, Charles Wobble, he said he even played some drums on it. But Mark Atkins is a great drummer, man. He had his own band that had a funny name. I can't remember. But I think he married a U.S. lady. He's been living here a long time. But, you know, you're reading a book on tips on how to make your band. Well, man, the drummer, that's one clue, one hint, is have a good drummer.
The band's only as good as the drummer, right?
Mark? Yeah, well, especially with the music, right? Rock and roll.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Okay, so I don't know, we're all going to get vaccinated safe and maybe back to gigs and you can tour this, but you already got songs. You're working on the third one.
This is true.
Okay.
We're on our way to another big chunk of music that we'll put out, and maybe another 2 years.
Yeah, maybe we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Will you come on the show? Yeah. Well, now you got better ability, so maybe only 1 year instead of 2, John. But whatever. Like Mr. Wells said, no wine before it's time, right?
Well,
remember the 2-buck Chuck screw on? I think Parmesan or some bullshit.
Oh right,
that was terrible. But anyway, it's the thought that matters. But when you come out with this record, please come back on the show and let's talk about it again, okay?
Oh sure.
Oh, we'd love to. Thanks, Mike. Okay. Appreciate talking every time.
Absolutely. People, it's been March 15, 2021 edition of the Watt Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.